praise God. You know, sometimes it's hard to sing when you're in the midst of a battle, isn't it? You don't want to sing. You don't want to say, praise you, Jesus. But you know what? That's when you need to do it. It's called a war cry. People don't understand the war cry. If you've ever seen Full Metal Jacket, they talk about the war face, war cry. I remember the first time, let me hear your war cry. My what? A war cry comes from when you're scared to death. And everything in you wants to shut down. And it is at the very, it is the most primal scream that you can get to the very basis of your nature. A rabbit has a war cry. And a rabbit can be fierce. They can be that nice little cuddly bunny, or they will tear you up. Just depends on what's after them. When we sing, we let go of all of the garbage from last week. Maybe even all the garbage from this morning. Let go of the garbage from last year, please. And the year before that, let those chains fall harmlessly behind you and praise his name. You know, we were discussing the other day again about praise and worship. And, you know, I've told you several times here, we are careful to make sure that our praise and worship, when we come together corporately, is not just building us up, but that we are glorifying his name. We are declaring God is alive. How many times do you hear that out in public? You don't. When we come together and we declare that God is alive, or that we'll sing to his great name and the mercies, his grace, his power, his love, that is praise and worship. Now don't get me wrong. Listen to stuff that builds you up too. I do. You can ask Angela. If a song isn't really building me up, I don't like listening to it a whole lot. But boy, if it's building my faith up and it's making me think about God and it's making me open my eyes, oh, I'm telling you, folks, there's days the devil runs from Morrow County. Because if that bomb goes off, that's the mother of all bombs. But I'm here to tell you today, sing, even when you don't feel like it. And I know many of you in here, you're not singers, I get it. I mean, listen to my voice right now. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket right now. But what I'm telling you is if you sing, there were days I would be in a loader or in a truck, and all I could do was just sing, and it was just it. It was just the bare minimums. A diesel engine, dust rolling in, hard head bouncing off the ceiling. And I just try to sing a little bit. Because I'm going to tell you, those days in that particular instance, the devil was trying his best to take us out. And I say us. There would be no us if the devil had accomplished what he wanted. I know she found a way to sing. For me, it was harder. But you just have to push past it. And that's when you realize it's a war cry. A war cry is not pretty. It's not pretty at all. You'd be surprised what might come out of your mouth. And I'm talking about sounds. It might be a high-pitched scream. If you're going to do that, though, make sure your neighbors know if you're within earshot. Could be bad news. But I'm going to tell you what. You know, I know her because this week I was just off base the whole week, really. I'm like, I missed last Sunday. Trust me, you did not want me here. You didn't. But yet, I knew God would be here. I knew God would give Joe the word. I knew God would lead Phil what to do. I knew because that's my God. And I've gotten over the fact that I need to be here every time, just even if I got a highly contagious whatever. You don't want that. But I missed being here with you. I can't tell you how much I miss being here with you guys. It's a corporate anointing. When we come in, you can just feel the power of God surging. And when you get used to that, folks, you want more and more of it. More and more. You know, Mylon Lefevre sang a song years ago called More. I want more of you, Lord. More. I want more of God. We seek his hand. There's a problem when we seek his hand and not his face. Let me give you an example. When Carter today, we discussed, he's like a dog when he comes here. He's got to hit all of his spots. He's got to run around and make all the spots. But then he was sitting back there, and I was sitting next to him, and I went to get up, and he did this. He just laid his head down. He laid right there. Stuck his arms inside. So he's nice and cozy. He's comfortable. That's wanting somebody's face. Not because Grandpa's got a toy or some candy or something. It's because he wanted me. When we want God like that, I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to give you the candy. So look out. But just remember that. Seek God's face, not his hand. When you're here singing, you're not singing, "Oh Lord, bless me." Bless the Lord. Oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. All right, now let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, we bring it not out of tradition, but out of covenant. Father, I stand a testament to all that you've done. You've stood by me. You've made a way when there was no way. You rebuked the devourer for my sake. So now, Lord God, I present to you the tithe and the offering. It's holy. It is blessed. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. And just a reminder, if you have a prayer request, make sure Phil gets it. And you may be seated and the Super Kids are dismissed. Well, so last week was rough. My ribs, my side, my chest, every muscle in my upper body hurt. I told her, I said, it feels like that tree fell on me again. I said, that's how bad I hurt. My shoulders hurt. My shoulders are still not quite the same. It was violent. But I'm going to tell you, this is a little revelation I got during all that. You know, God can talk to you even when you're throwing up. I'm thinking, you know, the thing I hate the most is dry heaves. Lord, just let something come up. Don't let me do all the work without the benefit. And as I was doing this, I'm just bear hugging that trash can. And I kind of got a bit more of a revelation. See, we've talked about in Revelation when, and this isn't the message, in Revelation when Jesus said, I will spew you out of my mouth. The word spew means to vomit. Y'all know how violent that is, right? A few of you in here have had that experience, I'm sure. It is violent. Here's the thing, though. We're thinking about us. Oh, poor us. How's that going to... And he's going to just spew us out. I suffered for 3 days afterwards. I hurt for 3 days afterwards. It hurt me as much. When Jesus says, I will spew you out, he already knows it's going to hurt him to have to get rid of you. Think about that for a second. That's how much he doesn't want to do that. But he said, I will for the sake of the entire body. And that's what my body was doing. It was getting rid of something that was not supposed to be there quite regularly. It's amazing to me. When you're sick, most of the time you wake up. Unless you are so stone drunk or out on drugs that you didn't wake up. I was like, Lord, I don't want to go to sleep. I really don't want to go to sleep. I don't trust myself. It was amazing. I'd wake up every time. My body said, wake up, Art. Head that way. And sure enough. But God, it hurts God to have to say, you're done. He gives us chance and time after time after time after time. He's not just a God of second chances. Third, 50th, 100th. He's gonna keep giving you chances. But there is gonna come a day when it's done. So this week, I'd actually started a message last week. I didn't start the last message, but I started the notes and everything. And well, I'll tell you what, when I'm allowed to get into that one, man, it's powerful. At least I think it's powerful, and I hope you get the power from it. But today, the message I want to talk to you today, we'll call it woe. Now, three simple words, right? Letters, right? Woe. If you're Vinny Barbarino, whoa. If you're on a horse, whoa. Means to stop. Spelled a little different. But if you're Jesus Christ, who 31 times out of 39 times in the New Testament said, whoa, it's a warning. It's a warning of calamity to come your way. We automatically think that, well, I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can tell other people. I can treat other people whatever I want. And you cannot do that. Well, God will forgive me. Yes, he will, but you hurt somebody. And Jesus said, whoa. And this week, I started seeing some things. I saw so much in my life, maybe even things I could have prevented. But more than that, things that others could have prevented in their lives had they been properly educated on the word of God. I couldn't have told you that the word woe appears 39 times, and 31 of them was Jesus. What's that got to tell us? I think it's important. It's noteworthy. What about woe? We know woe is an interjection. Just a, like I said, it could be something like, whoa, that was cool. Or, whoa, that's not cool. But it means grief. It's an interjection of grief, announcing calamity. A synonym of it is cursed. Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, this particular point, I did not see anywhere where he was actually addressing the children. There is another point in which he is addressing children. When he told his disciples, suffer them not to come unto me. In other words, you quit being a butthead. Let them come. And then that's when Jesus said, any man who would harm one of these little ones, it would be better for a millstone to have been hung around his neck and thrown into the sea. I don't know about you, but I know what it, I feel like I'm dying when I take a drink of water too fast and it shoots the wrong tube. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The older I get, the more that seems to happen. But go back to verse 1. It is impossible that no offenses. You're going to be offended is what he's telling you. But I need you to understand something, folks. We're talking, the word offenses is scandalon. It does not mean I'm offended by your hair color. I'm offended of your makeup. I'm offended of your jewelry. You're actually jealous. I'm offended at the type of music you listen to. How many listen to, is it Mozart? Anybody listen to Mozart? If you listen to heavy metal, you listen to Mozart too. You didn't know that, did you? Mozart was not a piano man in his day. He was a headbanger in his day. That is where heavy metal picks up its origin. I'm offended at what you eat or what you drink. I'm offended. Years ago, I taught a message that Christians are the most offended people in the world. We're offended at the world. What you look, what she, listen. You come to church, dress appropriately. If you're in the bedroom with your husband, dress appropriately. Nobody needs to be seeing what your husband gets to see. There's modesty. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you can have your neckline all the way up to here and be in lust all the way up to here. The neckline doesn't change it. Well, the makeup, they're Jezebels. That makes that woman a Jezebel. She's a harlot. Let's get something understood first and foremost. Wearing makeup does not make you a Jezebel, nor does it make you a whore. Jezebel was a woman who manipulated the authority of the king of Israel, who, by the way, was a spineless twit. And he allowed his people to be led into captivity of idolatry. So offenses does not mean you're offended at me because of what I listened to or that I told you that I thought your particular, was jokingly told you that your particular brand of truck was junk. They're all junk. I mean, let's be honest. They all rust out quick. They're built like that. Everything is built so you can't work on it and so you have to go buy a new one. It is. That's why the aftermarket part cost you $500, and you're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? $500. They don't want you to repair it. They want you to go get a new one. But we have people that are offended. Well, you talked about my football team, and I will continue. I pick on the Browns. I pick on the Steelers. I pick on them all. Well, I just don't. Listen, I pick on the Army. I pick on the Navy, the Air Force. And a couple weeks ago, I picked on the Marines. My branch. I think if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. But I'm not going to pick on you because of where you came from, who your family is. I don't want to be judged by my family. I've got some good family, and I've got some not so good family. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I have actually had family that go to family reunions to find a date. I don't go to family reunions anymore. But an offense, the word scandalon means it's a deliberate trap. A deliberate trap set with bait. Y'all have seen the movies and stuff like Little Rascals and such where they'll take a sapling and they'll bend it over with a piece of string, make a loop, tie it off with a stake, and they'll put a carrot in there to catch a rabbit. I still ain't figured out how those work. I know they can, but I ain't figured it out. I just assume if I'm going to rabbit hunt, I'm going to shoot it. And then it's not worth it. But that's the imagery that's given. You're setting a deliberate trap to get something. You're setting a bait. I'll use this because I watched a video of Matt the other night, coyote hunting. They had a call, and that call is sending out the message of a wounded rabbit, and it's an awful sound. I don't know how you sat there that long with it. I'd have been like, please, please. But that sound goes out to lure the coyotes in. The devil sets things in your path to lure you in. And the type of trap we're talking about, more than anything, the devil doesn't care what you drive. He doesn't care what you wear on your body. He doesn't care. He cares that you obey the voice of God. That's what he cares. He doesn't care that you took communion this week with water and a cracker. Does not matter, just FYI, and you can do it regularly, daily. If that's all you've got, take it. Being this offense is a direct deterrent from obeying the direction God has for your life. We've been talking about it over the years, how God directed our paths. I've told you time and time again how I've tried to figure out what to do with my life as a high school senior. You know, that's when everybody starts putting the pressure on you. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? I'm 18. I was 17. I was like, I ain't got a clue. I just need a car first. One thing at a time, please. And the hilarious part was when I enlisted, I hadn't even gone to boot camp. People said, so you're going to make it a career? It's an option. A year into it? No. I am not making this a career. I want to live. But I saw how things never worked my way until I enlisted. I've told Angela, I said, I knew God wanted me to enlist the year before. Well, you and Angela would have never met up. We'd already met. And God had already told her I was for her. Just wait. I had to get my life in line with what God wanted. Because God knew that 20 years later, I was going to be needed here. But that I had some things to overcome. I had a road I had to go down. Not that God made me do these. Listen, God does not make you make your stupid decisions. You make your stupid decisions. You did it. Start taking responsibility. God used it. God knew you were going to make that stupid decision. When I got my life in line with God, then God gave me my anchor. God wanted me there, and he gave me that anchor to hold on to. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Matthew 16:22-23. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine the intestinal fortitude of Peter? He's already wrecked. He has already confessed and told Jesus, I know you are the Son of God. That was just before this. I know you are the Son of God. Is anybody in here man enough to take the Son of God aside and rebuke him? Peter was. And began saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense. Scandalon. You are a trap. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter is still in his mind that Jesus has come to free them from the Roman rule. That's not what Jesus came to do at all. But I want to point out something. We capitalize the word Satan. It is not a proper noun. Nowhere, anywhere in your Bible is the word Satan or devil a proper noun. You need to understand something. First and foremost, God took his name. He didn't actually call Peter a demon. He said, you're my enemy. My enemy sets a trap for me. My enemy sets the call out there and tries to lure me in. Remember when he was taken out by the chief demon, the chief devil. Because, again, it's not a proper noun. It just means enemy. This was their way. I guess I'm going to have to go down this road to get us to help understand. This, when he took his name, he kicked his butt and took his name. And by taking away a name, you no longer have a friendship. There is no longer a civility between you. This has been going on for centuries, folks. And today we're you're just so racist. Well, we called the Redcoats the Redcoats. We were the Yanks. Civil War. Yanks versus the Rebels. Move on up. You got the Brits against the Krauts. Go on up into World War II. You got the Nips, Japs. Against the Krauts. Against the Yanks. Wait, see, those are all racist terms. Stop. You have no stinking idea what you're saying. The word Nippon. Anybody ever heard it? Nippon. Any of you guys that work at Utaka or one of those industries ever see that? Yeah, the wire. Nippon wire. It's their word for Japanese. That's what Nip meant. Jap was just our way of shortening it because it's easier to say Jap than Japanese if somebody was in the wire. And by doing that, you took away civility and you were able to defend your position and your brothers. Okay? And I'm going to help the guys from Vietnam. I did not know this until Patrick. The word gook. You're so racist! It's their word for countrymen. Their word, not ours. It just meant who they were. That's all it meant. It had nothing to do with race. It was their word. Just like Jap and Nip was their word. Kraut, you want to know why they called them Krauts? Because they could smell the sauerkraut. They could smell it. They ate so much sauerkraut, they smelled of sauerkraut. They'd get it on their clothes. And sauerkraut is strong. But it was a staple in their diet. But it was not racist. That's what Jesus turned around and told Peter. You're my enemy. Satan is an Arabic word that means my enemy. The devil means accuser. But Satan means my enemy. You are my enemy. basketball teams get together. We got the Indians versus the Knights. We don't say, hey, well, there's Justin, and they're taking on. So now we know a lot of the kids now through playing for a couple years, and some of them we know their parents from other schools. That's a little different. But you don't look on, I'm taking on Michael Jordan. No, you were taking on the Bulls. He just happened to be an instrumental part of it. You weren't taking on one, but you were taking on the Bulls. They were taking on who those people were. There's all kinds of them for today's war. We're not even going down that one. Oh, that's just so racist. Ain't got nothing to do with that race. They're the human race as far as I'm concerned. But if you want to kill me, we have a problem. I have grown accustomed to breathing. I like living. I will not come kill you. Don't come kill me. We'll keep it that way. But he did not change his name to Satan. He said, you're my enemy. For you are not thinking about the will of God for my life, but you are concerned about your will. Now, let me help you out on this. Well, just not help you out, but I'm sorry, my headset is not fitting 100%. I put something on crooked and it's irritating me. He was saying, you are not looking at the will of God for my life. Peter didn't understand the will of God. Jesus did. And in this, some time ago, the Lord started telling me, do not try to be the Holy Spirit for people. I am not your Holy Spirit. I will not tell you what to do. You ask for advice, I will give you advice. That is it. But if God has given you a directive, let me help you out with it. It is a direct order. When God told us to come home, it was not a suggestion. It was a command. Go home. Take what you've learned here and go back. And share it there. If you say God told you to do something, he told you, and you know that he told you. Not because you suddenly felt guilty after watching one of those commercials on TV. But you know that you know that you know God told you to do something. You'd better doggone do it. Because God is going to oppose you every step of the way. I had felt early on when the Marine Corps was thrown at me that it was something I should do. Fear kept me back. But let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I've told you, I had a union electrician job set up for the day after I graduated. There was no qualms about it. I was cleared with the company. I was cleared with the union, who, by the way, the union representatives were my family members. Should have been a shoe-in. I got word Sunday night, don't bring him in. That job went pfft. Every job I had after that went pfft. The most I could make was $5 an hour, freezing my butt off. I said, pfft. I don't like the cold. It's not that I minded the work. I didn't like the cold. But when I finally went and talked to a recruiter, when things were about to go, God said, nope. Now we release things into his life. And God began to move in my life. He brought me the love of my life. He started me on a path of addressing things in my life. Getting extremely angry. Even, well, not really even violent. I stayed drunk to stop that. But once I overcame that, and I've kept walking towards him every step of the way. 30 years, folks. Next year, it will be 30 years that I said, Jesus, I don't want to know you through her. I don't want to know you through my preacher, my parents, nobody. I want to know you. It's been almost 30 years, and I'm here to tell you, I've just scratched the surface. But one of the things I've seen is this, is in, getting in his will. When you try to stop somebody inadvertently, you may think you're just doing whatever within your rights. God doesn't look at it that way. Anything you or I say or do that stops, that could be a hindering point for somebody in his will, God opposes it. I gave you the reference of the children. Jesus said, whoever harms one of these, it would be better for him to be tied with a giant weight around his neck and drowned. The man who abused me in 1976 died 6 months later. They pulled him out of the river. He drowned. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, and if you've been through that, you understand, it can harm you. But God protected me, and it did not harm me. But God did not turn a blind eye, because I do not believe I was the only one. There were cousins that lived next door, and we often wondered, and now it makes sense. The elder and the pastor that came when I was 16, and they tore my father down. Pretty much told me he wasn't worth a dog. I'm just going to try because I somehow did not take those words completely to heart. They did hit a little bit, but not enough to hate my dad. Both of them that year. The elder, it cost him his entire livelihood. His good name was gone. He had to move into a rented house, take a job in a factory. He had been self-employed. And the preacher lost his church. The preacher lost it all and had to work until the day he died as an old man. And here's the sad part, ladies and gentlemen. I ran into him after we'd started a church, and I told him, because it was forgiving him is when I felt grown up. He said, when did you hear the call? When did you get the call? You know what that tells me? He knew the call was there. Because there was another preacher that told Tim Abraham, when I was 10, he said, he's going to preach. The devil tried. He baited people. Why would you take a beef out on somebody's son when you got it against them? Somebody's got a beef against me. They better doggone come to my door when I'm there and have the cojones enough to stand up to me. Because if you come to my son, I never did tell my dad. He still doesn't know. The devil set a trap for them. The church nearly folded within the next couple years. It's still here. But it's been by the grace of God. Those are just some of the things, folks. I sat and I looked and I thought, God, the things that the devil has baited people with to try to put me out, they fell hard. I've had to learn to pray mercy in their lives because Jesus said, woe. John 15. Now we see Peter gets called my enemy. This is contrast to my friend. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. Right there, stop. He doesn't know what his master is doing, his will. We can know the will of God for our lives. I just as soon not know the whole thing because I'll mess it up. I just as soon go with it because that's the type of person I am. You can ask Angela. I'm the fly by the seat of my pants kind of guy. You want to grab a sheet and jump off the top of the barn? I'll be there. Did it. The chute doesn't open. It just kind of goes. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Don't worry about trying to live by all the Ten Commandments. They're great. Do not. Don't, when I say don't live according to the law, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. But if you listen to this one commandment, you don't have to worry about them. You can live your life wholly before God, just loving one another. It's that simple. It really is. Serving God is not that hard. We become God's enemy when we disobey, or we urge others to disobey God. See, I know God has told you to stay off sugar. You were highly addicted to it. I've heard him say it's evil. I would become his enemy if I tried to get him to eat sugar a lot. Yep. I would be his enemy. I wouldn't be his friend. I'd become his enemy. My friend is not going to try to harm me. Well, your friends gave you a beer. I wanted it. I never smoked a joint, never took drugs. I did because I wanted to. I wanted to speed, I'm going to speed. I'm going to drag race, I'm going to drag race. Doesn't always work out for you. All right. Genesis chapter 2. I'm wrapping up. We got war on the floor. We got a couple people I'm going to lay hands on. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat, may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. All right. We have it right here. This is the only. Can you say only? The only command. That was it. You have this tree over here you can eat. Matter of fact, you've got 9 billion trees you can eat from. But this one you stay away from. That was it. All right. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. By the way, I'm going to point out, it's a serpent. This is not Satan. This is a real serpent. Okay? Yeah. They could stand up. They could talk. Be a little freaky. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He goes on to say, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you will become like God. Evidently, Eve could not comprehend that they were already created in God's likeness. What does a little bit of knowledge? This was knowledge, not wisdom. Knowledge. The enemy, here's how pretty much the way it goes according to Enoch. The enemy went to the serpent, convinced the serpent to address this. We don't know what the serpent's job was. I mean, if you really look at snakes, some of them are beautiful. The only reason you fear them is because of the curse. That's why you fear them. They did not fear. And I know some of you, you got snakes. More power to you. I got a pair of snakeskin boots. But you will not surely die. The serpent bit. What did the enemy promise? What was there promised? Was there power? Was there authority? Was there infamy? I'll tell you right now, there was infamy. Because even in our Bible, Satan is referred to as the serpent of old. Why are we afraid of a serpent? Because of this. Now, he goes to the woman. The woman has heard the word from Adam. She looks at it, sees it's good. God said, don't even touch it. She takes. I'm not dead. I'm not dead. Adam observes. She's not dead. Maybe God lied. Adam took. He ate it. And the very next verse it says, and then the eyes were opened. And they saw they were naked. A couple different things here, folks. First off, what would it matter if a husband and wife were naked? I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to be gross or anything. What difference does it make? Well, yeah. It makes no difference for a husband and wife to be naked together, does it? Absolutely none. So why did it make a difference? They weren't the only ones. This did not happen on day 8. Time had no reason to begin. Because we know that when Cain killed Abel, Cain said, wherever I go, people will want to kill me. There were cities. There could have been thousands of years. Time did not begin until Adam. It said he lived 930 years. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you take 930 years from that point on, Israel's time falls in place from that point, not from creation. From that point, time had no reason to begin. You eat of a tree that keeps you alive forever. Wouldn't that be great, man? Come back. I think we'd be about in our 30s. I think my 30s were, I was smarter, hopefully. Felt good, energetic. I'm getting way over. Sorry. The serpent created doubt, then twisted the truth. God knew the trap had been sprung. That's why he came. And then the blame game ensued. Well, the woman you gave me. Well, the serpent. Well, what happened? The serpent got sent to his belly to eat dust, and the heel of man would bruise his head. There was now enmity between the two, and we would kill serpents. Doesn't matter if it's a garter snake. I know people that run them down and kill them. It ain't going to hurt you. It's going to scare the bejeebers out of you, but it ain't going to hurt you. You wonder why you got rats? Quit killing all the black snakes. They're called rat snakes for a reason. I think that was the only thing the devil created. I told you, if you can't take it. No. And then woman. Woman now has pain in childbirth. How would she know what pain in childbirth was if she had never given birth? You got to have a comprehension of something to understand it. If I try to explain to you a flying fish, how are you going to understand it? I've seen them. In Subic Bay. We'd be taking equipment across to the other side of the bay. It takes an hour to get across there. And these little flying fish coming up beside our mic boat. You got to see it. I can try to explain it to you. I don't get it. They really don't fly. They just come out of the water. But then Adam. Adam was the covering for all of mankind. You and I could have ate of it. But Adam could not. He was our covering for sin. Oh, we'd have probably gotten in trouble. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we were going to get away with something. Adam was the covering. That's why when Adam ate of it, their eyes were opened. Sin was revealed. That's why Jesus had to come and why he is called. Sometimes he's called the second Adam. He was the covering for all mankind. Did mankind quit sinning just because Jesus came? Did you quit sinning? Don't have to answer that. So when we try to get people to disobey what God has told them, and like I said, you need to know that you know that it's God. When God told us to come home, we knew that it was God. We were just talking about this morning, I had a stirring in my spirit. We hadn't really talked, but boy, we were butting heads often. And our apartment was too small to be doing that. And finally, I brought it up, and we started talking, and we realized we needed to go home. And it broke our heart. We loved that body. We loved those friends. But God wanted us to move on and take what we had and bring it up here. Things we had learned. We didn't learn things by book only. We learned them by experience. We had to trust God. Now, there were people that told us, we didn't think it was the will of God for you to be down there anyhow. I told that person, and that's why I didn't ask you. I'm not going to ask you if I can do the will of God. When I know it's the will of God, we're doing it. That's all there is to it. And if God says, put the brakes on, he says the other woe, I put the brakes on. Stop. We're not going any further. I realized years ago when I went to Ukraine, that is not what God has called me to. So many people think that preachers need to be going out all the time, traveling and preaching. I need to be here for my body. I need to be able to be here to pray with them. I need to be able to hear if something hits them blindside. I got to be here. Well, you can set up an associate pastor and all that. Well, I could. But you know what? In all honesty, you're my responsibility. Not somebody else's. So I know for me, that's not God's will. So, when somebody comes to you, and God has told you, do not go and ask people what they think about the will of God for you. I'm sorry. I'll say this, because this is all, something we can all relate to. When Jason Applegate called me, and he told me that they were moving, I got mad at God. Now, there have been people that have left. They didn't hear God. And I said, God, what is the deal? I said, I start getting people raised up and you take them. And a lot of people, I don't think it's God's will for them to leave. And I had to say, God told me it was. That he had to. Don't know why. I know what he's doing out there. But God told me he had to. And you know how I know when it's not God's will? The devil comes in and rake people over the coals. They pull out of church. They don't go to church as often as they used to, or they quit completely, or it's not as important, or they quit serving. We're all called to serve. That's it. You don't need to get up here and preach every Sunday to serve. Helping out with the breakfast. Doing things like that. But the will of God, I'm not going to tell you to transgress what God has told you. God tells you to sow a seed, you better doggone sow that seed. And I'm going to tell you a little something here. This was one Angela and I were talking about the other day. What command did they really break? Don't take what belongs to me. What belongs to God that people love to break today? The tithe. You're just trying to get money from me. Oh my gosh. You need to grow up if that's your thinking. I'm here to tell you right now, the devil lied to them. And they took the one thing. God has said the tithe is mine. That's the only thing that he's ever said was his. The first fruits. That's why the people are up against this message so hard. When you're hitting, when your job sucks, when you can't find joy in anything, ask yourself, did I tithe? Did I tithe? Watch what will happen when you get back into obedience. He says, I'll pour out blessing. Blessing is just not financial. It's peace in the time of war. I mean, how many, is anybody else in here in a war? Okay, flesh and spirit having a race, and the devil's going full throttle, you know what I'm saying? You've got to stand. Now, obey the voice of God. We have a couple things we're going to pray for today. I know one of them, we're going to pray over Keith and Liz. God has moved on Liz to start a ministry of making quilts for babies. And she knew she was going to have two to do this year. And, well, we got one. And there's the other. And anyhow, she would like for us to, we're going to pray, I'm going to pray over them and bless them in this. And then whenever she has a new quilt, we're going to bring it up. We're going to pray over that quilt. Because it's not for just this body. It's for whoever they come across that has a baby. Do not think that the anointing does not transfer across. Don't rely on, well, I've got my little prayer cloth for my healing. Oh, get your faith out of that prayer cloth and get it in the healer. I've seen people die with them taped to the inside of their coat. Your faith was not in the healer. It was in a piece of cloth. And Miss Judy is going to go. She's got to have her battery changed. She's got to have some work done, literally, battery changed. Your whole pacemaker's being replaced. Yeah, they're putting in a whole new one. So she's going to come back next week, whenever she's cleared to get up, and, man, she's just going to be firing on all cylinders. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to pray over her as well. And, you know, don't forget this week to vote. Get out and vote. Is it this week? 17th? Okay, I'm all. You can ask Angela. I've been running way early. I'd have been down at the Grange trying to get in Tuesday. But one thing I want to throw out there, because I know we have people, we know we got the census coming around. Okay. If a census worker comes to your door, they will have identification. Yeah, don't shoot them. That would be great not to shoot them. But if they ask for your social or your finances or any of that information, call the cops. Let them know. Take a picture if you got your camera. Let them know you're not getting that information. Do not give that out. All they're going to ask is how many in your household and what are the ages and your name. That's it. That's how half of us have found our relatives through the years. But they are not to ask you any financial information. No credit card numbers, no bank accounts, nothing. The second they ask that, take your picture and call the cops. Well, I won't give them that clearance, but if I get a call from Pat, if I get a call from Pat that says, bring a shovel, I'm in trouble. So I wanted to get that out because apparently it has already started happening. And the scammers are changing their tactics from the IRS scammers. They are now sending out letters because the IRS never calls you. So they're sending out letters. It's the address. The ones that they have come across have been Florida addresses. There is no IRS processing centers in Florida. Do not take the paperwork and send anything in. Okay? And you can always call the IRS and say, hey, I got this form. And they will put you through and they'll start finding out and they'll say, well, yeah, here's the problem. Or, that's a scam. Throw it away. That's all they'll do. I've called the FBI on a few things and they said, go ahead and throw that away. Yep, yep. Now, this week I started something a little interesting with Jesse, or Justin particularly, and then Jesse wanted in on it. Justin does this character called Llewellyn. Justin, would you give us a little sample?
My name is Llewellyn.
What type of cigarettes do you smoke, Llewellyn? So we got a call the other day. I looked at it and said, well, I don't know it. Here, Justin. Indian guy got on there and Llewellyn started answering. Llewellyn asked him, said, you got any menthols? The guy went quiet. I haven't had as many calls. So have some fun with it. But don't get any real information. All right. We're going to pray. And then, like I said, I know we got some things going on this afternoon. I even got one here that says, I don't want to ask for anything, just to thank God for what I've got. Gratitude, folks, it goes a long way with God. Okay. All right. Okay. So we're going to go before the Lord, and we got some healings we need to pray for and some situations in people's lives that are going on. But you know what? I've said before, God is a faithful God, and he will move. Amen. And so, Liz, you and Keith come up here. And Judy, you might as well come on up since you asked for me specifically. I'd come back here, but we might as well come up here and do this. We're going to pray over their ministry and Miss Judy. We like having her around. So, hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you move through people. Lord, I pray right now that you move through Keith and Liz. Lord God, with the desires of their hearts, Lord, you're stirring in them this ministry. I pray right now, Father, that you move in their lives, Father, that you begin to bring the necessary supplies, Lord God, supernaturally. Lord, I bless this ministry, Father. I bless every child that will be touched by it. I bless the work of their hands, Father, and as they are stitching these things and delivering them, Father, that every step of it will be ordained from you. Lord, I thank you and praise you right now that as they go and as they're doing this, Father, that these children and these parents, their lives will be changed forever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for our sister. Lord God, I pray right now that you touch her. Lord, if her kidneys are not completely functioning, I speak life right now into her kidneys. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving. And Lord, I thank you that when she goes in for this surgery, Lord, that your hand will be upon her. I pray peace over her right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that for every staff member, every nurse, the janitorials, people, Lord, everybody that has anything to do with this operation, Lord God, that your hand would be upon them. We curse infections in Jesus' name. We curse any abnormalities in Jesus' name. We speak life and health right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, well, let's go before the Lord with these other requests. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Ray. Lord, I pray right now that you touch him. Father, I pray that your hand be upon him, Father, as he goes for these tests. Lord God, and anything that has to come out, Lord, come about yet, Father, we pray right now that your peace would be with him, your peace be with Edna, Father. I pray that you give her words of encouragement, words of life in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that as the devil comes against her, Lord God, that you rise up against him and you surround her with your word, Father, that you bring within her a peace. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're working in this thing in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that whatever the next step is, that you are there. You already knew it was going to happen, and you've ordained it, and you're there, and you're going to make it smooth in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Taylor. Lord God, we curse the addiction that's in her life right now. Father, the taste, the desire for the feeling of what the drugs do. Lord God, I curse that in Jesus' name. Father, may this desire leave her. Father, I pray right now that you visit her, Lord. That you become, that she finds that she doesn't need the drug when she needs you. That you fill the voids. That you can bring the highs. Lord, I thank you and praise you right now. Father, that whatever's coming against her, Lord God, will start to fall. It will melt away, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We speak life, life, life into her life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, we continue to take a stand, not only as parents and grandparents, but as family. Lord, against what the devil is using through apps on phones, Father, through social media, Lord God. Father, I pray that those that may be experiencing bullying, Lord God, that you will rise up within them to cut that out of their life, Lord God. Father, and that you replace it with people that will speak life to them, that will bring life into their existence, Father. I thank you and praise you, Father, that as parents and grandparents, that you're giving us wisdom. You're opening our eyes to what the devil is using, Father, and that we're not just on another witch hunt, but, Father, that we are being cautious and we are watching what is happening in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And, Father, this one person has asked this, but I pray for it all, for us all in this. Help us to do the work in the fields. Lord, we know that there has to be a seed sown, but then there has to be those that water. There has to be those that bring life to it and those that harvest it. Father, I pray for courage right now. I pray for wisdom right now. I pray for the words right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Father, that our eyes would be open to situations that we can bring about even planting the seed into somebody's life about you. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in all of us. You're stirring in all of us that love for other people, that they may know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, we lift up our sister Sherry. Lord, it sounds like she's having a rough couple of weeks here. Lord, we pray that you heal the dog bites. Father, in Jesus' name, curse any infection, any pain right now, in Jesus' name, this cold to be cleared up, those lungs right now, sinus passages open, cold, cleared in Jesus' name, bacteria gone in Jesus' name. I thank you and praise you, Father, that you're healing her body, you're touching her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, instead of complaining about this generation, we pray for them. Lord, there's children, they don't know you. Some of them who have known you when they were younger have walked away due to hypocrisy, due to misinformation, improper teaching. Father, I pray right now that you help us reach them. Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us, no matter what generation we represent. You help us to not judge them, but to reach out and love them just like Jesus did. Father, put in us the desire, the burn that Christ had. And Father, I pray for Josh and Whitney, Lord. I pray right now that you help, you lead them to the right attorney. Father, that even through a series of phone calls, Lord God, you're going to take them to the attorney that will be affordable, who's going to know every step of the way, that nothing will blindside that attorney, that they already know what's coming. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're leading them to that person who's going to help them fully adopt this precious, precious little boy. Father, I thank you that you're moving in their lives. I thank you you're providing. I thank you that you're opening up a way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And also, Father, we pray for Stephanie. Lord, we know you love her. We love her. Father, I pray right now that as she is at least trying to make the step, Father, that you meet her. Father, you show her that the hypocrisy she may have seen in times past is not who you are. Father, I thank you and praise you. You're even removing the desire for the drugs from her. Father, you're delivering her right now in Jesus' name. And you're reinstating the mother instinct that she is supposed to have. Father, that the other children that she has will get to know their mother. A delivered, a healed, and a loving mother. Father, I thank you that at each step she makes that you're going to be there with her. And as she draws closer to you, Father, that you are drawing closer to her. And now, Father, we pray for our country. As we come into the voting season, Lord, I pray right now that truth be known, facts about situation are known. Lord, I thank you and praise you that those who are trying to set themselves up to thwart your will, Lord God, we pray for mercy, but we know that they will have their own judgment in their life. But Father, we do not condemn them to hell. We pray that they come to know you. And now, Father, we pray for Israel. We bless Israel, Lord. Father, thank you for protecting Israel. Thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're moving and working in miraculous ways in Israel. And Father, I pray for Ted's daughter, Lord, as they continue to work on their relationship. I pray that you begin to heal the wounds, Father, and you create a new bond between father and daughter. And now, Lord, I speak healing into his life. Right now, in Jesus' name, every germ, every bug, every virus, cursed in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we would be amiss if we didn't say thank you. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for the things you've done in our lives, Father. And Father, the only way we can pay you back is to live for you. Father, may we never forget to be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, praise God. Well, let's stand, because I know there's a little party going to go on next door here in a little bit. Praise God. I'm asking God right now, this week, to put one person in this body on your mind. It can be in the middle of the week, doesn't matter, but when one person, if you see their face just pop up in your mind, pray for them right then. Pray for them right then. Everybody's got a little something going on in their life. You know, they say that, you know, if you find, particularly in Vietnam, right after that, it was real evident. If you got a Vietnam vet that talks about their great escapades in war and all the great things that they did and the thousands that they killed and all this, they're liars. The ones who really did it don't talk about it. The ones who are suffering don't talk about it. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. Because we're taught, just suck it up, buttercup. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus didn't want you just to suck it up. Sometimes you got to suck it up for a little bit, but then you got to get it off your chest. And if you can pray for one person, I don't care if you think you pray the most eloquent prayers. I'm going to tell you right now, I was at the commissioner's meeting a couple weeks ago, and Burgess Castle prayed. I don't care what you think of the man. He sat there and gave God glory that he's still alive. I don't care what you knew. From what I've been told, he ain't the same. He gave God glory because he's supposed to be dead in 11. 2011, he was supposed to be dead. And he sat there and he prayed. And I could tell he hadn't been praying for 30 years. But he prayed in front of a room full of people. A simple prayer. Don't ever let, well, I don't pray great powerful prayers. I don't call down heaven. That'll come. That'll come. Lord, bless them. Touch them. Help them. It's as simple as that. That's praying for somebody. If you'll do that, I can promise you God will watch what happens in your life that week. God will move. I'm not saying you can't pray for yourself. God does seem to happen to move a little bit quicker in our lives when we pray for others. All right, well, I will pray, bless you, and then you can be dismissed. Hallelujah. Drink water first. Father, God in heaven, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray that right now that you help us all, that we understand it's not our job to be you in somebody's life. Father, that if they're following your will, Father, whether they leave their job or whether they don't, that's on them. Father, that's between you and them. So, Father, I pray right now, the people that are in those quandaries, Father. You settled it in their heart. If they got to leave, they got to leave. But if they're to stay, then they'll shut their mouth, they'll suck it up, and they'll watch your hand move. And now, Father, I bless your people today. Lord, I bless this baby shower afterwards. Lord God, I bless all the men that are going to the restaurant by themselves. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are moving in our lives, Father, that your word, Lord, brings us joy. It brings us life. So now, Father, I bless your people. Amen.